you got to take a step back and you got to see yourself objectively. You got to see yourself almost like in third person.
Yeah.
And you got to say, like, what do I bring and what am I wanting out of this life? And what am I going to create? And what are those things?
So we had Jannard Archibald on, and Jannard was so much fun. We talked about his personal journey and more like growing up, his dad's a doctor and not really sure, and it's really his disability. But then we got into him being at film school. And then the second episode, which you're about to see, the second episode, we talked about the technical pieces of being a creator. Let me disclaim this. He's not a YouTuber that makes really, you know, funny slime videos. This guy creates art. He is the artist of the newest generation, and he's wonderful at what he does. And we go into some technical pieces about content creating, about what he does. So this part two of Jannard is going to be absolutely wonderful. I know you're going to like it. How do you balance authenticity with the pressure to perform for such a big audience?
I would say as long as I'm doing it from a good place in my heart.
Mm.
Like if it feels as though I am approaching a project in an authentic way, that I'm not trying to control a narrative or a perspective to win someone else's like reward for money or whatever. As long as I approach it, and then that way, if they were to come to me, I'd be like, that was what my heart felt.
Yeah.
You can't really argue with someone that says, that's how I felt.
That's how I felt. Yeah.
You know, and as soon as you do that, it neutralizes everything.
It does.
You can't, and that's it. And then that's what protects you. That's your shield.
What do you do when you create something that you think is a banger? It's great, but the client comes to you and says, I hate it.
Oh, man. That's happened a couple times. I mean, you know, I've gotten at Telegraph, I remember the first couple of videos I made, I was so pumped to show them the video. I'd put so much time. I stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning. Crickets at the end. And we did it virtually. So like, and at this time we weren't doing Zooms. This was before COVID. And you just had the little tiny conference machine. And you're like, okay, did theirs end? Did
just
they
waiting.
Got me on mute? Are you guys on mute?
Oh.
They're like, okay, yeah. Well, we're going to watch it again. It's like, oh. And like everybody in the room is like, you know, and I'm thinking like, I'm about to get pats on the shoulders, nothing.
Wow.
They wanted something so generic. Their mindset was set on this very, and it's not, and this is where that miscommunication came.
I think I know who you're probably talking about, so go ahead.
Do you know
it? I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to say it, but I am pretty sure.
I mean, they're not in this state.
Okay.
This is an out-of-state thing. But now it makes me question what other client are you talking about? But yeah, I mean, it was crickets, and it was because they wanted very, like, you know, they wanted something a little bit more generic, more, you know, my style is my style, and I don't want to change it for anybody. And if you hire me, which now I do with the, you know, disclaimers on anybody that comes to me, it's like, hey, I really love your work, but I'd rather you just do it my way.
No.
But hey, I like your work. And it's like, well, hold on.
If you like my work.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me and let's do it that way.
Sure.
But that was a hard lesson for me to learn and now that's what I use as a tool now to kind of like, we do this discovery session where we talk and we're like, we look at inspo and like they send videos. And they're like, we love this style. Or if it's a content piece that I've already made, they're like, oh, we love if you can just apply the Iceland style to this thing. And then it's like, it's great. And then that way, when it's done, it's like, I know I'm going to get a win as long as I put the time in. So
let me ask this. This leads into that's a good segue to this next question. How do you pick? Because at the end of the day, you are your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the client pays you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you choose between creative freedom and financial success?
In a scenario where, like, you know, we're humans and we need money, you just truck on. You create to the, but there's something hidden in that too that you learn from. So I don't necessarily like get upset with the idea of making something different. I'm just like, what am I being taught here?
Oh, that's good.
What's the lesson inside of this piece that I don't want to do? You know? Or I don't think I want to know. And what I've learned in the past is that things I didn't want to do, like starting out shooting weddings, taught me something I didn't know.
Yeah.
and, you know, working at Hewlett-Packard at the Walmarts all over the state taught me something that I didn't realize I needed to know. So when there's a scenario where, like, there's no money in our bank account and the client has money, but they want it a certain way, like, I just view it as, like, you put your head down, you work, and you find the lesson in it.
Yeah, that's really good. What's the biggest misconception that people have about content creators?
That it's easy.
Mm.
That we just wake up with a camera in our hand, and we can, you know, I feel like when you go to a shoot, they immediately want to, you know, they're like, oh, so we'll get that tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and, they don't understand the work.
No.
And the intentionality behind what it means to create something. Now, have I gotten faster over the years because of the speed and the repetition, the experience and all that stuff? Yeah, way faster. Something that would take me 2 weeks, I can get done in 3 days now. Mm-hmm. Just because of AI and all these technologies.
Right.
Kind of like allowing you to kind of double check, and like being dyslexic, huh, double check my emails.
Sure.
You know, it'll take me 30 minutes to write an email sometimes. And I'm like, check this ChatGPT, but don't change it. You know, I tell it what to say.
Yeah.
Or how to. But the misconception is that things are easy, and it's really not. It takes a lot of time. I started out expressing myself more through stories because I knew that it would live like Instagram stories, because they would disappear after 24 hours. Mm. So like nobody could like pull it up later unless they did a screen record and said, hey, you know, Jannard did this video, it's kind of crappy.
Right.
It was a way of expressing myself. But everyone that saw it thought I was just doing it willy-nilly. But I actually would spend like an hour just syncing up the sound on my phone just to get the, you know, because you get 15-second blocks on stories.
That's it.
And if I make a video that's 1 minute long, I've got to break it up and make sure that, and with Instagram, it doesn't just let you pick a song and then it lines up to the next one. You got to like, oh, this was at 36 seconds, so I need to pull that clip and move it. It's like, wait, what did he say in that? Oh, I got to go back to the last post. It's like, oh, she ended with saying like, we'll go outside and then go to the next spot and then pull it in. Then sometimes the app will crash on you.
Yeah.
And then you got to start over.
Start all over again.
And I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning, it gets up 24 hours and it's gone. They're like, oh, you make those so quick. It's like, actually, I'm pretty sure I put in like 5 or 6
actually
hours.
Not. It took me 5 hours to make that 1 minute clip. So that's a good segue. So tell me, I told Sierra this earlier, the song behind the video they're so important.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you spend picking the song for the content you create?
Sometimes I'll have the song before, and I am a Shazammer. Like, the song will almost dictate the piece.
Mm.
So, like, on the way up here today, I'm doing behind the scenes, I'm recording stuff on my phone, and on my Spotify random list that's playing, I hear this song, and I'm like, that's the song I'm using from the piece today. And I Shazam it, screenshot it. That's what I use. Now, for bigger pieces where I have to like use copyright material, that's not like I can't use, you know, Taylor Swift.
Sure.
You know, they'll come get you. But, you know, you got to go down the rabbit hole of certain, you know, sound and music websites, which I've got a couple core, but I favorite them. But every piece, I mean, music is important.
Man, it's so important.
It is. And my partner, Shannon, I mean, gosh, when I first got to Telegraph, every video I did, I didn't even realize it. She called me out. I had a saxophone just subtle in the background. I don't know why. Just like I had this like EDM thing going on. And I would put it on anything except like an emotional, like, you know, hospital piece.
Yeah.
But, and she'd be like, Jannard, this isn't, we don't need this sound for this. And I would edit everything to this song.
Wow.
And she'd be like, you gotta change the song. And I'm like, well, find me a better song then. Wow. You know, almost angry. But so she sent me one.
You had a creative bias.
Yeah. And she sent me a song, and every time she was right.
Wow.
And there's one thing I will say, that when it comes to creativity or anything that has to do with my work, if you send me something better, if you can tell me something better, I will not, like, I won't die on that bridge. Like, I will, if it's better, I'm like, shoot, dang, you're right. I'll own that.
Yeah.
I'll own it. And I'm like, heck yeah, thank you for making the piece better.
Because at the end of the day, it's got your name on it.
It does. That's and good. It's like, it's about the piece.
It is.
Right? It's it about is. The piece. And I probably struggled finding a song, you know, but for stuff like this, like what we're doing, I mean, like I kind of let it come to me.
Yeah.
Like I kind of trust, there's a lot of trust in like God and the universe.
Yeah.
Realistically, just how it's just how my life has just kind of developed. It seems too designed at this point.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And I am not ignoring it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I've seen you interact with different people in the past. How has your work as a content creator affected your personal relationships?
With like friends and family?
Yeah.
I mean, my friends get it now. I mean, I'm the guy that shows up with the camera and they're like, but they always stayed the same. My friends I've had since high school, I'm one of the very few little pods of people that some of my best friends I've known since middle school.
Yeah.
And we're still friends today.
That's crazy.
Dinner with, you know, one of them last night, you know, we went to Oak Mountain High School together. And
see, that's crazy. I got one friend from high school, one friend, and we went to college together. Yeah. Now I've got a lot of friends from college.
Yeah.
But I just don't have any friends from high school. That's crazy though.
Yeah. But I keep in contact with them. Those relationships are great. But I would say to answer your question, how my relationships and friends and family and all that is, get rid of the dead weight and get your core group of people.
Sure.
Like you should be able to be yourself.
Yeah.
If you're a creator, if you're into certain beliefs or hobbies, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable around the people that love you.
Right.
And say that I've, you know, I don't believe I have any bad blood with any folks, but I my time, since it's so limited now with work,
yeah.
is that
yes.
I do want to sit down at a dinner somewhere where like I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say or how I'm going to say it. And if I'm with somebody that I know that like has really strong beliefs about something, I feel like I'm almost kind of wasting my time. And I don't want to almost be in those scenarios. You know, those scenarios,
oh,
you
yeah.
get in them. And it's the best thing about life and your freedom is choosing who you give that time to.
So important.
And it's okay to be a little cutthroat with who you want to spend your time with.
It's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
So there's the analogy of the treadmill friends and the couch friends. Have you ever heard this?
Oh, I've never heard that before.
So there's some people that you come around, and when you leave them,
it's like being on.
You got so much energy. You just want to go. You just got to run it off on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. You leave them, and you're just full of energy. And then there's some people that you leave, or when you're sitting down and have a conversation or a dinner party or whatever, and you leave them, you're freaking exhausted.
Yeah.
And you just want to go lay on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
With three kids and the number of sports that we have, we are very particular about. And it's when you guys get married and you decide to have another child,
yeah,
you'll see like time is so compressed, especially mm-hmm. the older you get. Mm-hmm. Time gets compressed and you are very, very particular about who you spend those hours with because they are so precious. And you go, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want to screw that up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people draw the analogy of Jesus all the time. You know, Jesus, you know, he didn't have many friends. He had 12,
mm-hmm.
but he really had three mm-hmm. that he really spent the bulk of his time. We had 12 friends,
yeah,
but he really spent time and totally invested all he had into three.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, three's a good number.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the number, but like
it's the number I have.
Three's a good number. So if you could make content without any restrictions or any consequences, what would you create?
A movie. Mm-hmm. A documentary, probably.
On
a subject or matter that is widely controversial.
Sitting here today, fall of 2024, what is that most controversial thing for you?
Maybe just like what it means to pick your partner.
Mm.
I spent my whole life trying to create love and scenarios that didn't exist because of the idea of what you see in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, my brother found the love of his life in high school. So
wow.
In my mind, every girl I dated after that was my Elizabeth, my sister-in-law. And I just thought that's, you know, I wanted that so
yeah.
bad. But it was because I had created it from different realms of myself that I've just made up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they say you know when you know.
Sure.
Like, you don't know even when you do, like, you know what you know and you know what you don't know.
That's right.
And I thought I knew so many times. But then when you know, you're like, oh, crap, this is what they mean.
Yeah.
This is what they're talking about. And I think if there's any way, and I feel like there's so many, I run into people. I'm like the friend, too, that like, and my friends will probably shoot me for this, but like some of my best friends, I've literally been like, bro, you're not going to be with this person. Like, this is just a face.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they'd be like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I'm like in the same scenario, but like I'm the teacher, but I'm not learning
sure.
my own.
Wow.
Teaching.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And, but I always knew what was best for my friends. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, everything I kind of predicted based on energy, I studied body language and how they communicate and all that stuff. I mean, everyone finds themselves in these scenarios where they create these false meanings.
Mm.
But I think it's because they didn't know how to tap into parts of themselves, or they haven't accepted parts of themselves that they didn't think other people would accept for them.
Yeah.
And I believe that when you find your person, what I've found, because when I found my person, she was me with different experiences.
Mm.
She was like,
what does she do?
She's a realtor. She's just a real estate agent. She just started her own path. Kind of a longer story, but she was married before, Hispanic life where, you know, she got pregnant. She was teen mom early. The culture there is stay at home, raise your kids, no college, move forward, take care of the man. You're having a family, keep it together.
Yeah.
And she and her mom didn't want that for her. And she just did it. She was like, this is my responsibility. Let's keep going. They had issues, another kid. They're like, another kid will fix it. Let's roll another one out. And eventually, you know, she realized, like, I'm not doing anything for myself. And and your inner self will eventually, like, claw out of there.
No doubt.
Maybe when you turn 80, when you turn 50, maybe 40, like, at some point, you come out.
Sure.
And she did. And in that moment, I mean, she still has a healthy relationship with her ex-husband.
That's great.
Love him. I think he's great.
Yeah.
And I love that they all like kind of grew together.
Yeah.
The kids, me growing with her, and then him, you know, being remarried and having his own kids now. And like, it's just kind of putting your pride away and realizing, wow, we didn't have to stick with the version of ourselves that we thought that we wanted to push forward.
That everybody else.
Yeah. That they wanted, that everyone else thought that you thought that they thought they wanted.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, write that down.
Because when you find out, you realize later, you're like, wow, wait, hold on. You didn't think that you thought that you didn't want that for me? You're like, no, where'd you get that from? Yeah. You're like, well, I was at that dinner that one time. And you said something. I was like, that's not what I said.
So let's do this. As we wrap up here, the last probably quarter, I want to ask some like tactical questions.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is, there's someone out there right now that works in an agency or has a W-2 and they're working for somebody, but they really want to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
They either want to own their own thing. They want to be a content creator. And when I say content creator, I don't mean, Jannard is not a YouTuber it's not who you are. He's an artist, but he creates things for people that makes people smile, that grabs people's emotions. So how did you balance creating content for your company while freelancing your work and not burning out?
So I don't believe that you can get burned out on things you love.
Okay.
I really don't. And when you're working to work to pay, put food on the table, that passion, it'll fuel you. It's like, you know, they say that there's always room for dessert.
That's right.
And you could be full, like to the brim. But that cheesecake comes out somehow, it works. And you're not feeling killed. But you might even get a cappuccino at the end.
That's right.
So to me, that's what you're doing, is if you're not doing what your like what your purpose is, and like, and a lot of people trying to, if you're at an agency right now and you're trying to figure out, if you're like in any kind of full-time job, a W-2, and you're trying to figure out like should I go off on my own, you need to find the thing that you can do that's singular, that literally like has your fingerprint on it and nobody else can do. As soon as you do that and you realize that people want it and you get it in front of people that want that thing, then you're good to go.
Mm.
But you're good to go as in like, you can now start pursuing that journey, but be cautious because everything that they have for you at that agency where you're getting that W-2, where they've got HR and they've got your time management and all that stuff, it doesn't, it stays at the agency. You don't bring that with you.
Yeah, sure.
That's automative. And so just know that you are now that person.
Yeah.
And if you're fortunate enough, you surround yourself with other creatives or people in that line of work where well, they'll help you with that. I mean, shoot, mom might have to do your taxes the first year, you know? Sure. She might have to help you keep track of all your things, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, you got to delegate out tasks. But I would say the core of it is figure out what your singular thing is, your passion, what your gut is like screaming to do. And eventually you'll go there on your own. I wouldn't jump ship unless you're like, because like I needed to spend 2 years, 3 years at an agency.
Yeah.
You know, if I had listened to this podcast and I was like, you know, a version of myself that was a fresh into it, I would probably be like, oh shoot, yeah, I'm listening to Jannard, I'm going to quit tomorrow. No, don't do that.
No.
You gotta take a step back and you gotta see yourself objectively. You gotta see yourself almost like in third person.
Yeah.
And you gotta say, like, what do I bring and what am I wanting out of this life? And what am I gonna create? And what are those things? And then once you get like a clear path, like when I left Telegraph, I had a clear path of what I knew what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
And it was the first time like everything just kind of opened up for me, and it was still like ambiguous, but there was a line. There was like this beam of light
narrow path that you
exactly. And I'm like, I got to go in this direction, but I didn't see myself in that scenario.
Yeah.
Where I was currently, those people coming with me.
Mm.
So, and that's kind of when you know. Yeah. But I also have a different view in the world, so everyone's scenario is so different. You know.
Well, it's like when we were starting MealFit, you know, I did two jobs for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, dude. You were grinding.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we worked a lot when we first started this thing. So let me ask you this more. This is again another tactical question. What's the most unconventional tool or technique that you've used to create content?
My phone.
Yeah. Think so?
I mean, I guess it does so much.
So let me ask this. Do a lot of people in your position have a degree, make relatively good money shooting high-level content for big businesses? Do they kind of go, no, we're not going to use our phone to do this because they want to use these big, fancy, nice red cameras and all the fancy high-dollar things? Do a lot of people in your stratosphere of talent, do they kind of snub their nose at things like that?
I think it scares them.
Really?
Yeah, because if you can shoot on your phone, man, I mean, imagine if you got a red in your hand.
Sure.
You know, you're working with something that, like, a lot of people, you know, some people look at
pistol as opposed to a bazooka.
Exactly. I mean, my goal with the phone is actually, like, I view it as a way of putting myself in a box and like crawling out of it, like the smallest box. Because there's a lot of people out there. I mean, I know some DPs, they shoot on their phone. I follow them on Instagram, and their photos that they just post on their own personal, they don't even really try. It's like you would think like a dad had the camera and snapped a photo, but they're talented.
Yeah, sure.
With these really crazy cinema cameras, you know, with the $100,000 lenses. And so, to me, if I can master this, and it's getting better every single time, but if I can master this thing, then I should be able to shoot anything.
Anything that you
want. But what I would say is that this tool, I think I can shoot on this phone and edit a piece. Some folks would have no idea what I shot it on.
Yeah.
I could tell them I shot on a red.
Yeah.
And they'd notice.
They probably believe.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have like a really crazy technical eye. But my goal would be to shoot it from that perspective that you just like couldn't catch the flaws.
Yeah.
Like the biggest weakness for a phone is in low light. So I wouldn't shoot anything at night, you know? And if I did, I'd light it. So they shot with this phone a movie, right?
I've seen things like that.
Yeah. But what they fail to tell you is that if you're going to shoot on your phone and you're going to make a movie, like, there's lights involved. There's crew. There's still so many pieces that are so essential to creating something.
Yeah.
It's not just like there's sound design, there's color. Like you can shoot flat to where like everything's kind of gray. So when you do color, everything gets
D-log.
Yes, exactly.
I learned that.
Yeah.
How about that came up in conversation? So my buddy Colin, who's also a creator, he owns a company called Joy Collective here in Birmingham. He's really, really talented, does a good job. And I said, hey, can you edit this and take the make this greener, the grass greener in these pictures? He goes, dude, I told you when you shoot the video and you need to edit and shoot and D-log. And so if I do like I'm going to do something like that, like the drone that I have, I'll shoot that in D-log.
Shoot in log. Yeah. Which like for a normal person, when you look at it, you're like, why does this look so ghostly? But it's just a blank canvas where you can start injecting the colors.
Just a little pop here and a little pop there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to transition to total polar opposite question.
Yeah.
Money is not an issue. If you had to pick one camera to do all your shooting, the one camera, what would it be?
Man, you know, for me to answer that question, I have to give you this one little snippet. Is that I thought when I graduated from film school that I needed a RED camera.
Okay.
Like I thought that was going to make me the best shooter ever. And I had to start backwards. I have the RED now. I purchased it myself after working with my company for 2 years now. And every dollar I got, I was like, I'm going to get the RED.
Yeah.
It's time. When I was at Telegraph, they bought me the RED, which is awesome. They were like, shoot, we got to buy Jannard this $80,000 camera. And they were like, well, we want to keep him. So give him the tool he needs.
Yeah.
But even when I got it, I was like, it didn't fulfill me. It's almost like Christmas, right? Like you're like, oh, I want all these things from Santa. And then like you get it and you play with it for like that's how it was with me for the RED, which is kind of sad to say because I thought, and I still, like, it is an important tool and it is a very specific tool, but I just thought it would change everything. And it really didn't change what I thought it was going to change.
Yeah.
I could have shot on any cinema camera that was a third of the price or a tenth of the price. I don't think you would have noticed that much of a difference.
Right.
So to answer your question, I would say that the RED that I have now, just because it is very specific, but I don't necessarily, to me, it's more about the lenses. If I had certain lenses, it's because that's the perspective, right? It's always been about the glass. It's never really been about the brain.
Right. So as a content creator, what are the three most used apps on your phone?
Instagram.
Okay.
I guess like the camera app. Okay. Right.
Number two.
And then this caption app.
What's it called?
Vead Captions.
Why do you like it?
Well, it's not so much that I like it. It's necessary to pull people into your videos. It will do the captions for you in poppy text.
So it's just a good practical.
It's a good folks nowadays. You can't just throw up something pretty. You need to you need a voiceover. You need
caption
some kind of and
stuff.
It just I throw it in there at the very end.
Yeah,
and that's it. But like the biggest app I use on my computer is when I'm shooting something that I want to stylize is Adobe Premiere.
Yeah,
but I always run it through Topaz AI. Oh, ChatGPT. Sorry, I should have said that.
Yeah.
Because
I'll give you four.
Formulating ideas. Yeah, because I was like, what is it? But yeah, I use ChatGPT just to, if I need a script or an idea of how to take my crazy word vomit brain of ideas, I throw it in there and then it kind of starts me on my path. But yeah, I should have said that as literally number one.
Have you ever used Perplexity.ai?
Mm-mm.
Bro, it's good.
No, I don't even know what that is.
It's just like all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an AI tool. We use it, to be honest with you, I use it to write questions.
Okay.
Write questions and write titles for videos.
That's great. I need something that makes some good captions so I don't sound so. That's my kryptonite too. I'll create a piece of content.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I want to say? And then most of the time, and people
just give credit.
I'll have people be like, I don't even know what your caption meant. It's too deep. I thought about all these things and I'm like, and it's like earlier you asked me like, what do you do? And I was like, I'm an observer. And I was like, oh my God.
So off camera, I said, so tell me when someone says, what do you do? He went, I'm an observer. I'm like, what does that mean? Because the word, let's just talk about it. The word content creator is in the mainstream right now.
Yeah.
It is your high school, middle school kids. That say they want to be a content creator or a YouTuber or whatever. Now, let me make something super clear. It's very, very different being a YouTuber and being a content creator.
Yeah.
A content creator, in essence, is the in my opinion, the artist of our generation. So whereas there are still people that paint,
yeah,
and there's still people that draw, and those people are needed. But it's kind of like football coaches, okay? Football coaches 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are successful now have adapted over the course of the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Saban, for example, everybody knows who Coach Nick Saban is. You know, he's been coaching, he's in his 70s, he's been coaching over 40 years. Well, he's adapted dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as content creators, I mean, even you're only 36, you've adapted dramatically in the last 5 years, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You've mentioned, you know, AI two or three times just in our conversation about how you use that tool to A, make your life easier,
mm-hmm.
but B, accentuate your work and make it better.
Tool is the key word there. Yeah, I don't copy and paste. It's just, it keeps me, it allows me to, it's a foundational thing. It's more of a, it's a filter. Yeah. I pass through it and I know it's on the front end and I know it's on the other side, but AI is in the middle.
Yep.
It just filters it.
One of the things that you probably have a deep knowledge of is this landscape of social media. Talk about growing on social media and the cost that there is in doing that.
Social media. I think I just figured it out. Literally.
Yeah.
Just figured it out. And it's not as complicated as you might make it out to be.
Okay.
If you are authentic, your true authentic self, and you just put it out there, people will react to it.
Sure.
Obviously, you need to have some kind of, you need to find the platform that is for you too. Like if you are a long-winded person, then TikTok's your world. If you're Instagram and if you're quick, like I wanted to get snippets out, but just stay on a path and keep going. The algorithm wants you to be consistent in something that, I just learned this just the other day, but my Instagram, the most successful videos that I have on there that have millions of views, and there's only a couple, took me less than 10 minutes to make. One of them being taking less than 5 minutes to make.
Wow.
In between a shoot, the last video I did, I was just shooting a Campesino piece. And during some downtime between moving one spot to another, I took this little new Pocket 3 camera that I use from DJI. And it has this like rotating head where you can just push a button and it'll make a 180 path. And I just happened to be by this bar, like when we were waiting to shoot. And there was these wine glasses stacked up. And I just kind of like hit the button, hit record. And it's doing this like really cool like inception shot. Look, took like 10 seconds. It's got, I think we're at 1 million views now on social with a crazy amount of comments. I put the link in my bio because I've got the affiliate program. It's got over 5,000 clicks. And it happened and I edited it all on my phone.
Wow.
And I got my phone recording of me doing it, the BTS of me holding it. I was like, oh, maybe I'll do a BTS. And I like held it up and I got the actual shot of whatever I'm doing. And then in the caption at the top, I put, this camera's changing the game. And that was it. And it's just taken off.
So what you're saying is the highly edited stuff, it's kind of overrated. There's a place for it.
It is. There are
artists. But on social, it's probably the more raw, authentic, just whatever.
Fire from the hip, release. Just if you had an idea today, start it, shoot it, edit it, get it out the door. The biggest thing that you need to realize as a social content creator is that the algorithm is always studying you. So like you don't get to spend 2 weeks and post one for that. If you spend 2 weeks on a production, the most time I've spent on video pieces, I have put it on social, which is crickets.
Yeah.
1,000 views. You know, like the algorithm, literally the way it studies you is you can have 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
And when you post it, it lets your initial followers, a piece of them, not even all of them.
Yeah.
See how they react to it. If they don't react to it, if they don't comment, like it, share it within the first like 30 minutes to an hour, the algorithm will be like, we're not going to show the rest of
it. We ain't showing nobody this.
But they won't even show it to the rest of your followers. So before you have to get through your followers before you get to the world.
Wow.
Like that's how it is. It's staged. So whoever's following you is basically the gatekeeper to if your contact leaves that world. And if people are reacting and commenting and then it's like, oh, okay, all right. Now we see that they like this content. Then they'll let it out some more. And then it just kind of becomes a rolling ball.
So tell me about the camera that you had that you put on your shirt. You put something down here and then you put it on.
A little pot, that little.
Bro, what was that?
Oh, man, that's just me buying a bunch of gadgets. That is DJ.
You a DJI fan?
I am. Yeah,
That's the drone I have.
I mean, the first drone I ever had was a hexacopter. I had to build it. It was radio frequency. I mean, one day it flew away on its own. It was just gone. Just left.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been a huge DJI fan. They've just create such a premium.
They do a good job. Mm-hmm. I really like their stuff.
Yeah. That camera you're talking about that was on my chest, that was an Insta360. It was a small, I can't remember the name of it. I think it was an Insta3, but it magnetizes it, like clips on the thing.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it's waterproof. You could literally put it in your mouth and like take a bite of a sandwich and you can see like your teeth. And it shoots vertically and horizontal and it's quick and easy. But you know, like I am a gadget person.
Yeah.
But the flaw is that it doesn't have an SD card. So you are responsible for dumping, offloading, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, I was like, I kind of quit using that product.
What's your favorite DJI product?
That Pocket 3 that just came out, that because it's just, it shoots log. It's a gimbal on a stick.
I saw it.
It's basically like a nice drone.
I get the email.
Oh, yeah.
I get their emails.
I'll send you a link.
So let me ask you this. Is DJI the new GoPro?
They are a force to reckon with. GoPro is, I thought they were going to get crushed a couple of times, but the new Action Cam 5, which is, they're on number 5, you know, DJI. I mean, what's GoPro at? 13 now?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're already doing some things at GoPro.
Yeah.
Are kind of shaking in their boots.
Gotcha. That's good.
But I mean, I like
their product, bro. I'm not even in that space like you are.
Yeah.
And I know it's a solid product.
Yeah. But GoPros, I mean, they've got loyal fans, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got loyal fans. They're good to go. They're great at what they do. I just love that, like, the ecosystem of DJI is almost like Apple. Like, it communicates well. Like, I've got a DJI Mic 2 that I love, and it's got noise canceling built in. And when I bought the Pocket 3, I can connect that microphone seamlessly to the Pocket 3 instead of like attaching some kind of transmitter or anything to it. It just communicates, and it also connects with the Action Cam.
Is that it right there?
Yep. It's awesome, and it has face tracking. So
it's expensive.
Yeah, what is it?
$700.
Oh, that's the creator package. You can get the $500 one where it's just that and.
I think they're probably the next. No one knows what a DJI is. Not the mainstream people know what GoPro is, but I think they're rare. I mean, I think they're on their heels.
If they were publicly traded, I would have put every dollar that I had into that stock.
Yeah, it's a good company.
Yeah,
so. Okay, so I don't want, on this last question, okay? I don't want an ethereal, emotional answer. Oh,
man.
Okay?
You know that's all I am.
You're ethereal and emotional. Yeah. I know you are.
That's tattooed on my lower back right now.
What is?
Ethereal and emotional. Just kidding.
Okay, so, but this is a serious question, but I want technical as opposed to emotional.
Mm-hmm.
If you were starting over from zero, no relationships, just the knowledge that you currently have, what would you go do for a living?
Movie making, films.
Full length?
Full length, feature films.
Why are you not in that now then?
I'm working towards it.
Are you? Good for you.
I've started a baseline. I'm working with a writer and I've got ideas. It just took me until now. But yeah, there's a reason why I went to film school. I had to go through all this so I can cross this bridge. Because content, social media, and all that stuff, you know, when you go to a movie and your left changed?
Yeah.
Like, I want to change people if I can change them in a good way. And I feel like that's why I'm here. I don't know what that purpose is, but I got a couple films to make before I realize it.
Yeah.
You know, some people in the industry, Morgan Freeman didn't become picked up until he was in his 60s. You know, George Lucas, I mean, he was denied. Didn't really get into his stride until his 30s, late 30s and 40s. So, it's filmmaking tactically approached. Yeah. I would, at the core of it.
That's it.
I'd start working and shooting immediately.
That's perfect. Man, this has been great. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you if they want to work with you?
So many different ways.
Yeah.
Well, Instagram, it's just Menard. My name.
Is that one of those words you've never said before?
And just Menard. No, it's crazy. Like I used to hate my name growing up because it was like Jannard Archibald. No one could say it right. They'd be like Ginnard. And since I was Archibald, everyone would laugh. Like first day of school, they'd be like, oh, you know, and it got to the point where I would literally raise my hand right when the teacher got to the podium. And I'd be like, it's Jannard Archibald. Before she could even, she'd be like, thank you.
Thank you. Because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Or one would be offended and be like, you didn't think I could pronounce that G?
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Go
no,
outside.
No, ma'am.
Go outside.
You win.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You know what? Here's the thing, though. The things that we hate typically are the things that we love.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know your last name.
Yeah.
And I would say, hey, do you know Jannard?
Yeah. Instant.
And people knew.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you do your work, precede yourself. And
I'm the only Jannard in the United States.
Bro, it's like, awesome.
There isn't another Jannard. And I got Jannard.com. I got Jannard.
@gmail.com.
Yeah. @Jannard.com. I got the Instagram handle, Jannard.
Yeah.
There's an Eric Jannard actually in Europe. His last name is Jannard. Yeah. And he got on TikTok. Because I'm still not even really on TikTok. Because the algorithm's too powerful for me. It knows I like certain things, and I have to like, I'm like, oh, well, hold on there. Don't show me about aliens now.
You know me too well.
I know. I was like, I only went on there once. So Jannard.com, my Instagram handle, Jannard.
G-I-N-N-A-R-D.
Mm-hmm. So. And then we're at Supernaut too as well, which I've got my
partners.
Spell
that for me, please.
Supernaut.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll put all that in the comment and then in the description and everything. So Jannard, this has been great. I really appreciate it.
This is awesome. Thank you. This is professional.
This, you know, Highlands College, one of the things that Highlands College does a great job at is they're top of the line on everything they do. And they spent money and put the right things and talked to the right people and they've created a great space. I'm blessed to be able to use it.
Dude, so this really is good. Awesome. Beautiful college. I mean, I kind of want to come and hang out here.
Let's go eat lunch. How about
that? I'm just going to start just having coffee and sitting in this chair over here.
Just videoing people.
Yeah.
So
that was great.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you so much.